This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
All right, let's go conference cuts. We're going to start in Blacksburg. The interim head coach of the Hokies is J.C. Price. And after the disappointing loss to Miami and Virginia coming up this weekend, Coach Price says, contrary to popular belief, there's some things bigger than the final score.
Well, you know, I said this to them yesterday, and I totally mean this, and I'll be as candid and forthright as I can. You grow up as a kid and as a man playing in sports, and people tell you there's no moral victories. Well, you know what? Maybe last week there is such a thing as a moral victory. Because those kids, everything they went through, and they fought their butts off. Did we play well? No, and that's my fault. But the effort was there. The want-to was there. And those kids, you know, the resiliency of this team, any team could have packed it in, man, when it's 21-3. And they didn't. They did not. You know, they fought their butts off. Did it go the way we want? No. But when it's an evenly matched game and you spot somebody 18 points, you're going to have a hard time. But they didn't flinch. That's what I asked them to do last week, and they didn't do that. We didn't lose. We ran out of time. And it's my job this week to make sure that we get off to a better start. Because if we get off to a better start last week, the game may have, you know, it may not have. Miami's a good football team. But if we get off to a better start, then maybe we would have been on top. So that's the message this week is you know, we need to try to limit distractions. I mean, you guys have no idea what the distractions were. You know, and to deal with, I don't know if a college football team in America has had the distractions they had to deal with last week. And this week the message is we're going to try to limit those, and it's, you know, there's no class. It's all ball.
Hokies, who's, right?
Yep.
Edginess, it'll be chippy, people be fired up, it's personal, it matters.
Yeah. Bronco Mendenhall on the other side of that meeting Saturday at 3:45 on ACC Network says that despite the emotions of last week in Pittsburgh and this week at home against the Hokies, he needs to keep his team on an even keel.
It's a challenge. Education is part of it, showing examples of what is acceptable, what's not, what helps the team, what hurts the team. All those things are the same that happen every week, other than when you start playing meaningful games that you've earned at the end of seasons, like we just did and like we have coming up and like the bowl game will be, right? That usually means emotions and a chance for, man, you even to care more if that's possible, right, to be involved. And it never helps to go outside of the rules or outside of the play.
And if I could follow quickly, in your time at UVA, how have your teams handled it, and specifically the veterans you have, how have they handled those spots?
Well, I think we have work to do, and that's part of growing and maturing as a person. It's part of developing a program. It's part of handling life challenges. And, you know, that you have to balance that. So I would just say we're a work in progress.
There you go.
Like I said, there'll be edginess, chippiness. I mean, it's cool to play that even keel thing, man. Yeah. It's, listen, you'll see the Hokies on the other sideline. Oh, fans are going to be into it. Yeah. It's just a fun game.
Yep.
It's a blast.
Mike Norvell walks into one on Saturday at noon in Gainesville, doesn't he? His first trip into the swamp to see the Gators and Noles, and he's pretty passionate about it.
Very first day of fall camp, I talk about two teams. I talk about Miami, and I talk about this one. And everybody wants to win this game because it will be a game that is remembered for the rest of your life, regardless of who the coach is, regardless of what this at. It does not make it. What was the outcome? And everything that you do throughout the course of the season is going to prepare you for the moment. And you've either done the job, you've learned from the experiences, and you go apply it for 60 minutes during that game, or you don't. And you have to live with the results. And so do I want our guys to be at an all-time high come Saturday? Absolutely. Because I know what this game means. And if you don't get up for this one, then go somewhere else. Go do something else, because it is not for you. right? But you watch the history, you watch tradition, you know what it means to the university, you know what it means to the fan base. Man, this is why you play. This is why you coach, and it's to get guys for this moment. But everything we've done up to this point has prepared us. We'll either take advantage of it or we won't.
Ooh, brother, where's the wall? I want to run through it with Mike Norvell.
Stop.
That was great. This, and you know what else I loved about it?
Yeah.
There's two games I talk about. Miami.
Yeah, that's it.
And these guys.
And these guys. Yep. You know why? Because I'm not saying those names this week.
I love it.
I'm not calling them by name.
I love it. And they're coached by that.
Interim guy. Because I knew the other guy, and he's not there now.
He's right, though. He's 100% right about that game. You know,
well, he's right about those two games for sure,
without a doubt. Yep. And I kidded around with you yesterday. You know, college football, has it changed? Yeah, it has. You know why? Because when Florida State hooked up with the Gators 30 years ago,
right,
that game had bearings in terms of who's going to win the national championship.
That's it.
They both want to get back to that spot. This week, though, it's 5-6, 5-6. And the Gators are a total cluster, and they got to figure their out. But that's their problem.
That's it.
Florida State's playing with a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence. The game on the road at the Swamp. Again, it's the best weekend of the year for college football.
There you go. Third season for Scott Satterfield at Louisville. Just his second time meeting the rival Wildcats. Because remember, these games weren't played last year. Sat knows the importance.
Yeah, I think it's just big in recruiting. It's big in, you know, when you think about ACC, SEC matchup, when you think about just walking around every day when going out to eat, it's big. You know, in our everyday life, I think it's obviously big in recruiting. You know, when you think about the state of Kentucky and, you know, in recruiting in this state. So there's a lot of facets that make this huge for us and, you know, and then bragging rights for a whole year. You know, you play once a year in football, and you know, and then you got to wait a whole year before you get to do it again. So there's just a lot that is on this game each and every year, and it's, you know, and as a, you know, you better have the passion, you better have that sense of urgency, you better have that focus, everything that leads up to this game this week, and that's what we've talked about starting on Sunday.
Even when you go out to eat. That's what these games are this week.
When you go out to eat.
You heard Eric McClain talking about his dad going to Lowe's, catching some grief.
The Lowe's in Sumter all of a sudden is a hotbed this week.
You got a South Carolina guy. It's been, I mean, how long has it been since they won that game?
Thank you very much,
right?
By the way.
Yeah. Right?
That's right.
So that's why these games are juicy, man.
South Carolina feel like they got a little vibe after beating Missouri and Florida.
Well, they do. I mean, they should. Yeah, well, they didn't beat Missouri. They lost to Missouri.
Lost to Missouri.
Who'd they beat Florida
last week? Florida. Auburn.
You're getting there. Yeah. Florida and Auburn.
No.
You don't care.
No, I don't. I really don't. I mean, I'm happy for Shane. Way to win six games. I like Shane Beamer. Know some people on the staff over there. Pete Limbo, former head coach at Elon.
Yeah, Mighty Elon.
That's right. Mighty Elon.
Yeah, but these games matter this weekend.
Go out to eat. The go out to eat games.
When Coach Satterfield said that, that's exactly right, man. When you go out to dinner, you don't win this game. Somebody will tap you on the shoulder and go, hey, scoreboard. Scoreboard.
Has Vicky ever told you the story of the sprig of hedge from Sanford Stadium after the 08 game?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best. We don't have nearly enough time. Manny Diaz. He's going to Duke. Not a rivalry game, unless you go back to that lateral deal. Diaz measured in his response when asked about the unprecedented success of Packers guy TV dinner.
You know, I think it's phenomenal that we have an offensive system now here at the University of Miami that, you know, can create the type of numbers, not just for quarterback, but you look at, you know, the guys like Rambo, who's got a chance to break records. Harley's got a chance to break, you know, career records here at the University of Miami. And that's, you know, you want to be able to recruit to that. And you want to be able to going forward, you know, to set a lot of offensive records with what we're doing. So, but yes, it has been impressive what Tyler's done, and he deserves a lot of credit. But as I've mentioned too, is that I think everybody's playing very well around our quarterback, and we have a much more well-balanced offense than we had for sure at the beginning of the season, and absolutely more so than a year ago.
You know, I think Miami's going to go in there and light Duke up. I've been telling you that for the last three or four weeks.
Yes.
Duke just got a lot of work to do.
Right.
I will be curious to watch what happens with David Cutcliffe at the end of the season. And I've said this a thousand times, if I said it once. Great human being. Great guy. Tremendous football coach. But Duke, after watching their game Thursday night, I mean, Louisville, I mean, that was, come on, man. What are we doing? Right? It was just one of those nights where there were no answers for Duke.
That's right.
None. And it's been a long time since they've won a game. It's been a long time since they've won an ACC game. And here comes Miami. They're going to be slinging it all over the yard at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. And TBD, you know, what makes you think he's not going to go crazy again Saturday? I'll be curious to see the next step for Duke and what David Cutcliffe decides to do.
Yes. And I think the interesting thing for Miami is they are finishing like this. And Saturday could be another one of those climbs going north, right?
I expect it to.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you think otherwise?
Then the next step will be, who do they draw in the postseason and how much the postseason this year impacts with the way you think of them next year?
Well, again, I'll worry about 22
when we get to the spring. I got it. I mean, I'm just thinking there are certain programs in the ACC. We've had this unbelievable dearth of quarterbacks. We've had this unbelievable success of offensive football. We've had great competition. Margin of games has been, for the most part, very, very good and leading Power Five in competitiveness. But now we're to a point where teams, we're talking about four potential teams to win 10 or more. What does that mean going to 22? What have we seen in 21 that will buoy us to 22? I think Miami brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, well, Miami brought a lot to the table last year when they were a preseason top 14 team.
That's the other issue.
So that's why, it's to me, it's irrelevant.
I agree.
Hey, we'll get to that. But I'm more concerned about the immediacy of Duke.
I understand.
Because it's been a lousy year, let's be honest.
Well, they've been three in a row.
Well, I mean, and I think just the respect factor of David Cutcliffe.
I agree.
As a person and as a coach, I just hate to see them in that position because I know what a brilliant job he's done, what he inherited, which was pure garbage.
Mess.
And turning it into a team that made it to the ACC Championship game in 2013. And they are now more than competitive. Now they look like they're on this kind of a downward slide.
That's it.
And I just don't want to see him go out where it's like, well, we're in the same mess we were. You're not the same mess that you were when he got there.
Right.
I mean, they, listen, facility-wise, couldn't beat anybody. They were brutal.
Right.
And I'm being kind with those remarks.
Right.
I just want to see him go out the right way if he decides, hey, now's the time. And if he thinks he's still got another fastball in him, man, go for it.
Yep.
If you really, truly believe that.
There you go.
But that, to me, it's kind of sad watching Duke here the last couple of weeks. It's been really tough to watch.
Yeah, hard finishes for sure. On the other side, Andrea Adelson joins us. Been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Good to have Andrea back. We'll talk about Florida State and Florida, which is on ESPN this Saturday at noon from the Swamp in Gainesville. Great to have Andrea back with us next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. You better enjoy it because tomorrow is the last show we're giving you this week. That's it. That's it.
Well, you got to get cooking.
Thursday, Mrs. P, she's been cooking since Sunday. Smells delicious upstairs, I got to tell you. I can't wait for this week.
Enough for you to hit the sprint up the steps?
I ain't sprinting anywhere.
I know. Hannah Steelman's proud of you, though. You've made it to the neighbor's mailbox.
Neighbors, that's what. Hey, I'm making progress.
Andrea Adelson joins us. Andrea's run in her life. She's not a national champion like Hannah Steelman of NC State, but nonetheless, she's kind enough to be part of our Packer and Durham program.
She's a world champion.
It's been a while, Andrea. Welcome back. Where you been?
Where's Waldo at this point? Because I've been a lot of different places, and I'm surely glad to be back in ACC country on Saturday. Well, it's technically not because it's in Florida, but yeah. I'm really excited to watch Florida State against Florida because of what we've seen out of Florida State over the last month. I think the last time I was on with you guys, we were talking about the world falling apart once again in Tallahassee. What a turnaround for the Seminoles.
By the way, I'm just getting hungry just seeing the word Cheez-It behind your shoulder. Just saying. I can just right now.
I've got the hookup.
I know. I'd like to put my big old paw in there and just get a big old handful of Cheez-Its and just shove it down my throat.
Hey, AA, that was Home Shopping Network quality, by the way, the turn and the display portion on your part there.
Vanna White.
It was lovely. Vanna White. Yes, very nice.
Yeah,
I'll
take the letter A for Andrea, please.
Nice, well done.
I can solve the puzzle.
Nice.
I'm glad my hands are working well. I'm glad. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the game, though. I mean, there's so many storylines with this one, right? That normally is, but totally different this go-round. We talk about Florida State and the remarkable turnaround. Mike Norvell, his staff, and his players deserve a ton of credit after the 0-4 start. And then, of course, you got the whole Dan Mullen fiasco in Gainesville. And who knows, do they play with their hair on fire, or are they as lifeless as they played here for the last couple of months? Something tells me, though, Andrea, the emotion of this game always takes center stage, right? It doesn't matter. Gators, Noles, home, away, whatever. You've been a part of this game as a student, as a journalist, everything else. This game always has some fire to it.
No doubt about that. And one of the memories etched into my brain, actually, too, Florida pulling the upset on Florida State in 97 and then 98 pregame brawl. Doug Johnson's throwing a football that nearly hit Bobby Bowden in the head. We could go on and on about the history of this rivalry. But for Florida State in particular, when Bobby Bowden was the coach, this was the rivalry game that was circled on the calendar. And the way Mike Norvell has talked about this game, you can tell that same sense of, yes, we hate Miami, but man, we want Florida, especially because they didn't have this game a year ago. Mike Norvell has not coached in this rivalry. And on the other side of it, obviously, Florida needs a win to get to bowl eligibility and to try and save their season. But fellas, I have not covered this game in a very long time because the way this rivalry has gone over the last decade, it's been very lopsided. Either Florida has dominated it or Florida State has dominated it. There haven't really been a ton of competitive games because these programs have seesawed back and forth. They haven't really been good at the same time for quite a while. And not that they're good at the same time right now, but I think there's a lot more intrigue in this game compared to the last several because bowl eligibility is on the line and we've seen a new life out of Florida State and absolutely no life out of Florida. So what are we going to expect to see out of the Gators? I know what we're going to see out of Florida State, but I'm not quite sure what we're going to see out of Florida, especially with a noon start. It's not going to be sold out. I have to wonder how many people are going to come to watch this game after the way this season has gone. Thanksgiving weekend, every arrow feels like it's pointing at Florida State right now to be able to win this game.
Well, I know one thing. Florida better have somebody at left or right tackle that can block number 11 because he can absolutely wreck their day if they don't choose to block him, Andrew. Jermaine Johnson's been sensational.
If he's not the unanimous choice for ACC Defensive Player of the Year, I don't know what voters are looking at this point, especially – just let's talk about the recency bias and the way that he played last week against Boston College. That was an absolutely dominant performance, not just from Jermaine, but the way Keir Thomas has now stepped up for them on the other side. That defensive line is playing with fire, and they're playing with a determination that they're not going to be stopped. And when you look at Florida on the other side of it, they've had issues on their offensive line. Earlier in the season, they're able to run the ball, but now they can't do anything offensively. Don't even know if Anthony Richardson is going to be available to play in this game at quarterback. And so if it's Emory Jones and his inability to really be accurate with the football, you feel like Florida State's going to have an opportunity to tee off on him and make some plays defensively to be able to gain a lot of that momentum and confidence as the game moves forward.
Jermaine Johnson is the answer on defense in this league. The answer on offense could very well be Kenny Pickett. I know that you have a total vibe that, hey, how about Kenny Pickett for Heisman? Go ahead, tag your it.
Look, I'm a Heisman voter, and when I start to break down the candidates, I really, really try to look at the body of work and not necessarily the name attached to where this player is going to school. Right. And I think there's a couple of things, at least I hope, that voters should be paying attention to with Kenny. Number one, He's been consistent from the start of the season until this point right now. Maybe you can't say as much for C.J. Stroud, who has been up and down a little bit for Ohio State. And number two, when you look at Pitt as a whole, this isn't a program that has Heisman Trophy candidates year after year, the way that we see from Alabama or Ohio State or some of the other guys that might be in the mix. It takes a truly special player to have a truly special season at a place like Pitt. And that's exactly what we've seen out of Kenny Pickett this year. Everything that he did in his career has led up to this point where he could, forget about the Heisman talk, but where he could put together film and a body of work that could get Pitt to an ACC championship. And along the way, now he's in this Heisman discussion. I talked to Pat Narduzzi about this on Sunday morning as he's tried to make his push for Kenny in the fact that this isn't a team that recruits the way that Alabama and Ohio State do. They've got some great skill players, but they're banged up a lot at receiver. Obviously, Jordan Addison has been outstanding, but a lot of this has been on Kenny. And the way that he's been able to perform, knowing that a lot of it is on his shoulders, to me, speaks volumes for where he is. Now, the detractors are going to say, who have they played? They haven't played a ranked team. And I'll come back and say, if you look at the way he played against Clemson in particular, that should tell you what you need to know about Kenny. In addition to, obviously, the rest of the schedule. So I hope people keep an open mind. And considering how wide open this race is, guys, I cannot remember the last time I'm going into the final weekend of the regular season where I did not have a clear idea of how I was going to rank them 1, 2, 3. And I feel like other Heisman voters feel the same way right now. And hopefully that means an open mind and more people who are paying attention to what Kenny Pickett is doing, especially with an ACC championship game coming up next week.
I would join you in that category as well. I've been doing it for 20-some years, and it's as open as it's ever been in my mind. And I agree with you on that. We put a question out amongst ourselves in the first 90 minutes of this show today. We know Pittsburgh is in Charlotte next Saturday night, okay? They're going to play one of three teams. Let's suppose you get a chance to select who Pitt wants to play, Andrea. Who do they want to play and who don't they want to play?
So my guess is they probably want to play Wake Forest because they are the least strong defensively of the three teams that we're talking about. They probably do not want to play Clemson because of not only the way Clemson is playing right now, but who wants to have a rematch after you've won the first game in the regular season? Typically, the second game doesn't go as well for you. And I asked Pat Narduzzi on Sunday, who do you want to play? And he's like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, the thing that he's more upset about is that now they've got a breakdown tape of three teams this week, as opposed to the other guys on the other side only having to break down Pitt for the championship game. So they have been working since Sunday, breaking down all three of those teams in order to get ready. And of course, they've got the night start on Saturday, which will put them behind just, you know, a few hours. But hey, if you're a coach, whatever the competitive advantage you feel is going to be, you're thinking about that. What time is our game? What time are we going to get back? And what is our prep going to look like? So that would be my guess. Pat obviously wouldn't answer the question, but considering the way Clemson is playing right now, it almost feels like it's an inevitability after this whole season where everyone has dismissed Clemson that somehow Clemson's going to find themselves in the ACC championship game.
Do you think that's going to happen? Eric McLean does. Max said an hour ago he thinks Clemson's going to be in Charlotte.
I would not be surprised if Clemson is in Charlotte. And that's not like based on, all right, I'm breaking down every single matchup. And no, it's just the way that these things tend to work out. It's one of those like gut feelings, right? Everyone has been so down on Clemson, and even at 8-3, they're not even ranked, which is bizarre to me. I feel like they should be a top 25 team again. But the whole year we've spent dismissing Clemson. Right. And now here they are at the end of the season with a chance to play for another ACC championship. It feels like, I don't know, it might be cosmic that they're back in there. And it's not an easy matchup for Wake Forest or NC State this weekend. It really isn't. And Clemson's already in the clubhouse. So I don't know what the percentage is from FPI about what it's going to take for both Wake Forest and NC State to lose for Clemson to make the ACC championship game, but it's probably greater than 10%. That would be my guess.
FPI says it's 100% chance they have no earthly idea how this thing's going to play out. That's FPI's latest. By the way, as far as Pat Narduzzi is concerned, I just said, hey, Pat, listen, you know what? Whether you're studying for three teams, two teams, it beats sitting on the couch December the 4th. I mean, they are in this. They're in the game. So, you know, hey, listen, you know how Pat is. He's going to go 100 miles an hour. He's not going to sleep for 2 weeks getting ready for that game. So it's going to be great. By the way, what's your go-to for Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
What's your go-to?
Stuffing. At least six helpings of stuffing, fellas.
Wow. That's an interesting answer. Is that a Andrew Adelson concoction? Is there got to be a family recipe tied into that?
Well, it's very basic, you know. We get the Pepperidge Farm stuffing, and then we've got a lot of butter in there with some mushrooms and onion and celery. So it's not like something that's completely out of the ordinary. But the butter with the mushrooms combined with the stuffing, I don't know. The smell, I can already smell it. The way my mom makes it, even though it sounds basic, I can't make it as good as my mom. I love it, and I can't get enough of it. I guess I'm a basic kind of gal. I don't know.
All right, hang on. Let me clarify here. Are we talking sidecar stuffing to the turkey? Like, you don't put it in the turkey. You just keep it on the side,
no,
right?
We don't put it in the turkey.
All right.
Yeah, keep it on the side, yeah. And no gravy on the stuffing. No gravy.
No gravy. None. Right, I'm with you on that part.
No.
Ooh,
no.
I like gravy on everything.
No, I'm Andrew. I'm with Andrew. No gravy.
You know what is also great on Thanksgiving?
What's that back?
Underrated.
What?
Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cheez-Its
no
are very underrated, especially when they sponsor a bowl.
Hey, when you're watching the Lions, as my family does, because, you know, my husband's from Michigan, and you are waiting for dinner, you've got to do something to distract yourself from the game, so you got to eat some Cheez-Its.
I would say this. The way to lose your appetite would be watching the Lions.
That's a good point.
So thank you.
That may be the best thing that was said today on the show.
There you go.
That may be true.
Thank you very much.
Says the voice of the Atlanta Falcons.
Says the voice of the Falcons. All right. Andrea, be well. Great to see you as always. Safe travels over to Gainesville.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Great to see you again.
You bet. Same. Andrea Adelson. Read her work at ESPN.com. She's also a part of the Huddle as well. Does a marvelous job there and will be in Gainesville. Interesting game.
I didn't know this, but when she said the game's not sold out, that surprised me. That surprised me.
I'm not surprised.
Really?
No, sir.
Florida State?
A lot of disenchantment.
I get that, but hey, guess what?
A lot.
The guy you're not happy about's gone. You're going to give him $12 million to hit the road, put on his Darth Vader costume and going down the hallway. I mean, I don't know.
When we come back, wide receiver you. Ooh, Dwayne Lofton, Bo Collins, and Caleb Smith are on the tees. Well, so is Trey Turner. We'll see who won next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We find out a new winner, or maybe not. For wide receiver, you.
That's right. Maybe not. Again, let me reemphasize a comment we made earlier in the show today. The goal in wide receiver, you, is to nominate the best catches each week. Offense, defense, whatever it may be. Special teams.
Not punts.
Not punts. Right.
But onside kicks count.
Malachi Carter's been a nominee for an onside kick, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech Clemson game.
That's right. And so, and we'll have a parallel program for basketball starting in January. Nonetheless, it's imperative that we can come up with a list this week, 12 we had or something like that, nominees. And yesterday I noticed that several folks were upset we didn't have Jordan Addison this or Malik McClain from Florida State. Well, again, it's for you, the fan, to decide. And you, the fan, can nominate – all nominations are accepted.
Not all, because we'd have 500.
Well, that's true. But we get it down to a small list.
If there's multiple nominations from fans, that player is normally nominated. Gets in.
Yeah.
And we eventually draw the line.
That's it. So if you're not if you see a play, send it. Hit at West Durham, at Mark Packer, hashtag WRU, just like accounting. Just use a hashtag, hashtag Packer and Durham. It's easy for us to find. So that being said, let's get to the final results from the week 12 WRU. Fourth place, no gloves in the rain, 2.8%.
Wow.
For Caleb Smith.
That's all?
Yeah.
A lot of Hokies on the list, though.
I know.
It's been a split vote.
Well, you know, did they split the vote? Caleb Smith, no gloves, in the rain. Nice throw, Connor Blumrick. There you go. Okay, that's fourth. Third, 14% of the vote. Dwayne Lofton. This is a great catch. One hand to the ground. Come on now.
Like I said, a lot of Hokies voting here.
Third? Okay, so we're down to two. One Hokie and one Clemson Tiger. Good for you, Dwayne Lofton. You deserve better than the bronze. Second place, Los Angeles, California's Bo Collins. Mm. 29.3%. Zip. Jasir Taylor, we do not stop running. Bo with an X.
Bo time.
It is Bo time.
Hello, Bojangles, yeah. Marketing department.
No
Anybody
chance.
Awake?
There's no way he gets the next fall without some NIL.
Gosh, Bojangles, come on now.
Come on now. That means the winner, 53.8% of the vote.
Third time. He and Wicks, guess what? They'll see each other this weekend.
Yep.
The only three-time winners ever of wide receiver U.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with Trey Turner winning again, I think that's the first time we've gone back-to-back weeks with the same winner.
53.8% of the vote, Trey Turner. The drive for 25. Trey, congratulations.
The drive was 13 hours one way.
Exactly.
That was the drive.
Out of Greensboro, North Carolina.
How about that? Trey yep. Turner.
Way to go, Trey.
Three-time winner.
Three times. He and Dontavian Wicks.
This weekend.
All right, remember now, tag us on Twitter. Starting Friday night with State Carolina all the way through Saturday. You see the catch. All we need is the player's name, the school, the approximate time in the ball game.
That's right.
Some of you send not only that, you also editorialize and tell us exactly why you think it's the winner.
And that's fine.
That's fine, too.
I've got no issue with it.
Hearty endorsements are always appreciated.
Yeah. Want to criticize? I got no issue with that either.
Dwayne Lofton, man. That dude, come on now.
Well, somebody's got to come in fourth. Somebody's got to come in third. I mean, this is a competition. We're not handing out juice boxes to everybody. Only one. Like Hannah Stillman's got she's got the hardware.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, you got to win it. Trey Turner, though, three-time winner.
Don't forget, Mark and I have also cut loose our accounting. We both have Pittsburgh at number one. Basically, the front four are the same with Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson. Then it gets a little different.
We've got our scoreboard over here.
Yeah. So you'll see that later on social media as well. Your fan accounting, always appreciated as well here on Packer and Durham. On the other side.
By the way, before you start.
Yes, sir.
Well, go ahead.
Well, we got the night in hoops coming up.
Yeah, go ahead.
And an excerpt from an upcoming ACC Traditions, which airs tonight at 7, ahead of Kennesaw State and Wake Forest, right here on the network. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Many universities have their niche, but obviously Wake Forest was started with the golf program.
When you look overall, going back to when college golf was a minor sport, Wake Forest was one of the first ones to invest in golf. They're one of the most tradition-rich and one of the consistently strong programs, both men and women, that you'll see anywhere in the country.
Well, golf here at Wake Forest just has had an incredible tradition. On the men's side, they've won three national championships.
The amount of players that have gone on to the PGA Tour, the President's Cup, the Ryder Cup, it's just unbelievable. And the same on the women's.
We went through a stretch where we were in the top 20 for 25 years in a row. And I think with the small atmosphere, both teams are like family.
All of that added together makes Wake Forest one of the top five programs in college golf history. And that all starts with Wake Forest, so that's where Arnold Palmer went.
Arnold Palmer laid the groundwork for us here. Of course, he went on to be the greatest player in the world and the most recognizable player in the world.
A champion among champions. If you look at great players, they've won in college, they've won as an amateur, they've won as a pro. I mean, he's one of the top 10 all-time total wins.
Career Grand Slam winner, 7 major titles. He's got 4 green jackets.
Arnold Palmer is the Masters champion.
He was the king, and he came along at the right time. It's really interesting and amazing that a golfer, is probably the most recognizable athlete ever to come to Wake Forest.
He's the genesis of our success. I don't think we would be where we're at today. You know, there's lots of great people that have played here, that have coached here, that have been successful on and off the golf course, but it starts with Ronald Palmer.
When you pick up that ACC trophy, that individual trophy, and you look at the names that are on it, very first one, Arnold Palmer, Wake Forest. That's perfect.
It's not very hard to discover who Arnold Palmer is or what he means to Wake Forest.
Well, there's only one statue in Wake Forest, and that statue is of Arnold Palmer.
Today, we recognize the extraordinary contributions of Wake Forest's most famous son, Arnold Palmer. His reputation has added enormously to what Wake Forest has become. And we want to honor him with a statue.
To have known Mr. Palmer and to see his statue out there, oh, it just gives you goosebumps. I think that really captures his spirit as a golfer and as a person.
It's tough for me to not just sit down and not say anything except that I appreciate what has happened here and to know that you can do things in your life and you can watch what happens in your life and you go back to the things that meant the most to you. Wake Forest meant the most. It's the greatest, nicest thing that ever happened to me.
Every day when you walk into practice, you see Arnold Palmer's statue, you know, there's your expectation. All of his traits as a person, as a player, is something that we aspire to be here at Wake Forest.
How about that, huh? How about that? King, get the king going. You betcha. That's tonight, by the way. 7 o'clock, ACC Traditions. Our friends at Raycom do a phenomenal job with that piece, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt.
And good to see Diane Daly, Jerry Haas, our friend John Dell, who's one of the state of North Carolina's premier golf writers, covers the sport on the amateur side as well as anybody. Great to see those guys.
Awesome. Again, guy growing up in Winston-Salem, golf meant a lot to me and the family. Jesse Haddock, Arnold Palmer, Curtis Strange, Jay Haas, Jerry Haas doing his thing.
You know,
great, great, great golf school.
We get to the downside in the spring. Maybe we just do a couple shows where we get a couple chairs and sit down and start bringing people in, start telling stories.
You just want to do the ACC Golf Championship.
Oh, that would.
That's
be.
Been your. That's been like, you know, I come up with these stupid ideas.
Yeah.
That's been your go-to.
There's no question. My man Stan Cotton, who does Wake Forest, we've been friends for 100 years, and he's right there with me. We'd love a shot at doing that. live, walking the course.
No, I'm not walking.
I know.
I'm bringing the Chariot of Champions.
Mark Packer's in the 18th tower with me.
I'm not in the tower.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
in the Chariot of Champions. We bring it back. I'll roam the countryside. You stay up in the 18th
live
tower.
Reports, you and Emac.
Yeah.
He's a golfer.
Well,
Eric.
I think we can make that happen.
That is tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on ACC Network. Another edition of ACC Traditions. And, man, those have been fantastic. They've really done a nice job.
Yeah, excellent.
And been fun to watch. And some great history there with golf at Wake Forest. All right, let's get to basketball tonight. Let's start Chapel Hill. Carolina's going to host UNC Asheville. Remember, the ACC's 52-18 against non-conference competition. Virginia and Providence on ESPN2 tonight. And that is the championship game of the Romans event at Prudential Center in Newark. Then Kennesaw State and Wake Forest tonight, 8 o'clock here on ACCN. Then late night, Notre Dame.
I like Notre Dame in that game.
I do too, but it's not that. It's Chaminade, the Silver Swords.
Who's favored in that game between Notre Dame and Notre Dame?
Notre Dame would be favored.
Irish, close.
Well, they didn't list Chaminade because Chaminade, quite frankly, is the Silver Swords, who are Division II.
Can't make fun of them.
They beat Virginia.
They've got some history
yes,
in this league.
They beat Virginia back in the day.
Yeah. Ralph.
Yeah.
I don't mean just a Virginia team.
No,
they beat
like
Ralph.
A really good team. Right. Ralph Sampson.
The all-time shots.
On this date, by the way, November 23rd, 1984, Doug Flutie's Hail Mary to Gerard Phelan.
One of the legendary plays in college football history.
Great call by Musburger, by the way. He's going to throw it a long way. Phelan beat Miami, 47-45. Where were you when this happened?
Probably getting ready for Thanksgiving.
No, it was the day after Thanksgiving.
I was finishing off Thanksgiving as a student at Clemson University.
Do you remember where you were?
Yeah, I just told you. As a
were
student,
you at home? Billy, Barb, the
I
whole
was at
group?
Home.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think I was going to be? Class, the library? No.
I had just walked into my parents' house in Chapel Hill after doing a football game the Friday after Thanksgiving. Elon had beaten Wofford in Spartanburg, drove back to Chapel Hill, walked in the house, just as Phelan caught the ball.
Timing is everything, West Durham.
My dad goes, you're not going to believe what just happened. What happened? Flutie just threw it 60 yards in the back of the end zone. They beat Miami. Hell of a play. Thanks very much.
Miss Jean, do we have any more of those bourbon bars?
No. Do we have any more bourbon, Miss Jean? Not any bourbon bars.
Hey, speaking of food,
yeah,
I need to read this tweet.
Oh, no.
One of our absolute, again, we bragged about the SIDs in this conference and
sure.
around the country, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Jason Baum at the BC.
Oh, the best. One of them.
One of, right?
Yeah. He's on our list.
He says, at PAC at West, first time I'm fired up over PAC's accounting.
Huh. Really?
Hashtag, here's the key, hashtag team canned cranberry sauce.
No, there's no team for that. There's no team. No, there's no team for that mess.
I have never met anyone that likes it.
Jason, there's no team for that.
Jason Baum, man, come on.
Jason, there's no team for canned cranberry sauce.
Well, there is one, and he's the only guy on it.
Well, that's fine, yeah. So
I have never met a soul that likes it. I can't even look at it.
Oh.
When it comes out of the can, we're supposed to consume this?
I don't know. But that, you can't, no.
Put that on some plants and let it grow or something, man. I'm not eating that. Kidding me? That'd be better than that.
Thanks to Eric McClain.
You got a game tonight, don't you?
Yeah.
You gotta start getting dialed in, man.
Looking forward to seeing Wake Forest. Deacons are scoring-type basketball team and shooting it right now. Shooting it. They got guys that can fill it up.
They're going to fill it up tonight against Kennesaw State.
Oh, Owls now. Pesky Owls.
There you go. Pesky my you-know-what.
Out of the Wake's, Atlantic
Wake's
Sun.
Wake's coming in there. All you got to do is play that tradition thing with Arnold Palmer before the game. Deeks come flying out of there. He's scoring like crazy.
Yeah. Steve Paul Biancardi and I will be at the Joel Coliseum tonight.
Nice. Eight, right? Eight bells.
8 o'clock.
Look down at your sheet. Make sure you get that right.
Be right back here tomorrow
morning. Don't give me that 9. I thought it was a 9 tip-off.
No, 9 o'clock next week.
That's what I'm saying.
For Bonner and I, the ACC Big Ten
Look
Challenge.
Look at you doing all these games.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Man, they must like you.
You hang around, you get scheduled.
You may get that pin yet from Disney.
Maybe. Thanks to Josh and Rich for getting us home today. We'll see you tomorrow morning for the Wednesday edition, our final one of the week of Packer and Durham. You ready for tomorrow? Getting loaded up now.
I'm ready for this afternoon's radio.
That's it. Well, it's short walk to the mailbox, just a touch further to the neighbors.
That's it.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.